I'm cautious in answering questions about why things happen. But I think, as I said, there are ways to approach that. And part of that has to do with, I think, closer study of animals like Ichthyornis. There are a few other pivotal fossils that have already been discovered that are relevant to these questions. One of them is another Yale animal, actually described by O.C. Marsh, an animal called Hesperornis, which my graduate student, Michael Hansen, who's one of the co-first authors of the paper, is working on now. And it's got a sort of a more modern bird beak, so it shows the next stage. It fills in the gap between Ichthyornis and modern birds. But I think by carefully reconstructing the diets and the habits of extinct birds and trying to reconstruct what the common ancestor of modern birds was doing, we could get some idea of the way in which habits and diets were evolving and maybe some of the pressures that were being exerted on birds when the beak originated and when during the radiation after the extinction of the remaining dinosaurs. I don't know. I mean, there are more rigorous ways to approach the function of the jaws in fossil and in living birds. And I would say you always have to ground these things in the way living things work. But I think we can learn more about, I mean, how they're using their teeth, while also having a sort of bird-like jaw apparatus. And how they were using their beak and what that part of the bird story looks like in terms of how they were eating and how they were manipulating things. And I think also that the question of function, how they were using their jaws, is one thing. I also think that a lot of these transformations are driven by underlying developmental factors, embryonic developmental factors. And that we need to learn a lot more about ways in which things that seem like multiple transformations may actually be single transformations that are caused by a change in, say, gene expression. Some of the work that came from my dissertation shows that one area of gene expression controls the morphology of the anatomy of both the beak and the roof of the mouth, which are two things that we show transform in Ichthyornis and transform at the same time. And so you can see in the fossil record that these different bones transform together. But from my experimental work, I showed that the reason they transform together is probably that they're being controlled by a single set of genes and a single, you know, part of embryogenesis. And so they have to transform together. And that means that we're showing something fundamental about the way evolution works, that it looks like evolution is very, very complicated, but actually it might be simpler and more elegant than we know.